Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I will be remembered from generation to generation.'" Would you pray with me? God, we come this morning just grateful to be here, grateful to recognize you, grateful to draw closer to you. There's something about a name that's so important that we each have and use one. Help us to understand better your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. So far in our listing of the names of God, we've been giving you names that have, in essence, described different characteristics of God. We began with the first name that is introduced to us in Scripture, the name Elohim, talking about God the Creator. And it's just describing His power and His character in being the one who made it all. We looked at the name of God that was El Elyon, descriptive of God who is in charge, the sovereign, that is in control of the universe, determining events, determining what will happen, always pushing to His goal for the end of time. We looked at the name of El Roi, who is illustrative of His seeing our lives and the needs we have. And all these names are important because they give us different aspects of God. It's nice to know that God sees my life and knows what's going on. It's nice to know that because He sees my life and knows what's going on, He can intervene in my life. It's nice to know that He created me and that I can respond to my Creator. It's nice to know that He is sovereign and in charge. And ultimately, even though I mess up my life, He's going to make it end the way He wants it to end, if I turn to Him and let Him. But the name of God we're going to look at today is different. And it's different because it's not a characteristic of God. It is not describing some aspect of who He is. It's His name. It's His personal name. It's the name He introduced Himself as when He was talking to Moses. And Moses wanted to know, "Who's sending me?" And God gave him His name. It's who He is. In Hebrew, the most probable pronunciation would be Yahweh, or as some have transliterated it, Jehovah. And I'm going to explain that to you because it's important you understand. The respected Jewish commentator of the Middle Ages, a guy by the name of Moses, and I'm not even going to get close to how he pronounces his last name, but something like Momamedes, said, "All the names of God which occur in Scripture are derived from His works, except one, and that is Jehovah." And this is called the plain name because it teaches plainly and unequivocally the substance of God. This name for God was used 6,832 times in the Old Testament alone. That's why it's important. When God wanted to reveal Himself, He wanted to make sure He used His name. And He revealed Himself often. If you try to find that name, though, in Scripture, you're not going to find it. There's a reason for that. And that's because, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. If you want to find it, if you want to look it up all 6,000 times, all 6,832 times, look for the word Lord with a capital L. Because every time you find the word Lord with a capital L, you're looking at where the name of God was placed in Scripture. In Hebrew, his name, the name for God was four letters. It was the letter YHWH. The Hebrew language, when it was started, didn't have vowels. The vowel sounds were spoken, but they weren't written. All they had was consonants in their alphabet. And the vowel pointings were later added to the Hebrew language around 600 to 700 A.D., because the Hebrew people were not using Hebrew anymore, and they were beginning to learn, they were beginning to lose their language. So the scribes and the priests went in and they added the vowel pointings to Scripture so that the language would not be lost. As W.A. Criswell shares, the precise pronunciation and spelling of the name Yahweh has been lost. You see, it was such a sacred name to the Jews, and it was the holy name of God, and they were afraid of polluting or violating the name, so they wouldn't speak it. In fact, after the 5th century, they prohibited people from saying the name of God. They didn't want to violate the third commandment. And it came down to the point that the only time the name of God was spoken in Israel was once a year when the high priest went in to make atonement. He could say the name of God as he entered the Holy of Holies. The Jews revered this name so much, they tell us that when scribes were writing Scripture and they came to the name of God, that they would stop what they were doing and they would literally stop writing when they came to the name of God. They would take a bath, change their clothes, put on clean clothes, and they would get a new pen that had never been used and stop and write his name with that pen. They revered the name of God. It was important to them, and it should be important to us by the same token. To remind themselves not to speak the name. Every time they wrote the name of God, they wanted to say something that implied who he was, but they didn't want to speak his name. So every time they came to his name in Scripture, when they were reading, they would say the word Adonai, which is the word for Lord. That's why, if you look in your Old Testament, look for the name of God, you find Lord so many times. Because they revered that name and they spoke highly of that name and they didn't want to misuse it. So every time they came to his name, they would say the word Lord. Well, to make sure that they didn't say his name, they took those Hebrew consonants and they applied the vowels for the word Adonai to the Hebrew consonants to remind themselves that when they came to that word, they were to say Lord. Well, what happened over time was those consonants and vowels got put together and you came up with a phrase or a word that was spelled, it was a hybrid form, and it was spelled Y-E-H-O-W-A-H. And from that, we got the word Jehovah. So Jehovah is not God's name. I mean, it's nice, it's easy to say, but truthfully, it is not the name of God. It is a name that represents who he is. Probably the best we can tell, the most accurate name for God is Yahweh. That's his name. Now, when God first revealed this name to man, it was way before Moses. In fact, if you look in Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the 4th verse, you will find it says, when the Lord, and the word there is Yahweh, God, the word there is Elohim, made the heavens and the earth. It's talking about creation. So he introduced himself in the process of creation with his name. In fact, his name, that name Yahweh, is used 160 times in Genesis alone. But according to Ken Hemphill, who wrote a book titled The Names of God, he never explains that name. He just uses it. It wasn't until we come to Moses' experience with God, the words we read a few moments ago, that God explains His name. He explains who He is. It's only as God is preparing to do a mighty work of deliverance for His covenant people that He chooses to make Himself known as the I Am. And when God calls Himself I Am, He's using a word which means a word Hayah, which means to be or to exist. He is the self-existent one. That's who He is. He is eternal. Ken Hemphill, in his book, The Names of God, he says He is the one who in Himself possesses life and permanent existence. In other words, He stands alone. He is God. God is the uncaused cause. He is the first cause, and before Him there was no other, and after Him there will be no other. Life is found in the I Am. When Moses was being commissioned by God to go lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he asked, "Who do I tell them is sending me? Who do I say is sending me to do this task?" And God revealed Himself as the one who always was, always is, and always will be the I Am. The name has great importance for Moses, and it has great importance for us. You see, Moses needed three things to accomplish the task that was being asked of him. He needed authority, he needed guidance, and he needed help for the afflicted. Those are the three things Moses needed to succeed. And you know what? We as individuals need three things in our lives. We need guidance, we need authority, and we need the power to overcome the afflictions in our lives. I want you to look with me at how the I Am meets those needs. The God who is, who was, and who always will be is capable of being all of those things to us. First, we find that I Am is your authority. When Moses asked God, "Who do I tell them is sending me?" he was asking for authority. He was asking for, "Okay, you're asking me to do this thing. Why do I have the power to do it? Why should I?" You see, he had tried to help his fellow Israelites before. When he was the son of Pharaoh, or known as the son of Pharaoh, and that was a position who provided him quite a bit of power and quite a bit of privilege. But when he in his own strength tried to intervene, not only did his fellow Israelites reject his leadership, but his murder of an Egyptian caused him to have to leave the country. He had authority, but it wasn't the right kind of authority. He had power, but it wasn't the right kind of power. And because he didn't use it according to God's plan, he failed. Now God's asking him to go back and to try again. So he asked a legitimate question. Where's my authority? By what power am I supposed to do this? You're sending me back. I no longer have position. I no longer have power. I no longer have the recognition that will give me the authority to do what you want. Where does my authority to come from? Well, on top of all this, for Moses to be able to stand before Pharaoh and demand that he release the people of Israel, it required an authority that was greater than Pharaoh's. See, Pharaoh was known as a god in Egypt. And for him to go to a god in Egypt and demand that that god release the children of Israel, he had to have more authority than Pharaoh. So his question, "Who is sending me, is an important question to ask. It's similar to a question that we sometimes need to ask for our lives, and that is, "Who is sustaining me?" If you're going to give us this task, if you're going to give me this life to live, if you're going to call me to be your follower, who's going to sustain me? Well, I think you figured out the answer. The answer is the I Am is going to sustain us. But you see, those questions are legitimate because there's a great parallel between Moses' situation and our lives. We all live under the bondage of sin. We're all stuck with the reality that we fail in our efforts to overcome. We know that we're created for better things. In fact, I would venture to bet that most of us, if we were deep down honest with ourselves, would be willing, if we were honest with ourselves, would be willing to say we long for success. That we want to do something better or greater in life than what we are doing at this point in time. Now, many times people mistake that longing and that desire for success as a desire to make it big in this world. But the reality is that that desire for success is a deep planted desire in our heart that is put there to make us want to be a success the way God wants us to be a success. It's a longing He's planted in our hearts. This desire is a longing that demands authority over ourselves. If we want to be the success that God wants us to be, we have to have an outside authority. We have to overcome the influence of the evil one to be greater than we are. And when God told Moses to say, "I am has sent me," He was telling him what Spurgeon wrote. He has within Himself sufficiency for all His will. He hath adequate power of performance for all of His purposes and decrees. Yahweh's will, Yahweh wills, and it is done. The best instruction and the most willing of His servants derive their all from Him. In other words, God supplies to us, but we don't supply back. God is I am. He doesn't need us. He doesn't have to have us. But He wants to be the authority in our lives so that we can be what He wants us to be. Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27 says, "Then the word of the Lord, or Yahweh, came to Jeremiah and said, 'I am the Lord, or Yahweh, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?'" What is He saying? I am is sufficient. I am can do it. There's nothing I can't do. He is our guide. He is our leader. He is our authority. Because He's self-existent, there is none greater. He not only had the authority to send Moses to withstand Pharaoh, but He also has the authority to help us conquer the things in our lives that don't need to be there. The I Am is all the authority we need to live a victorious life. He's sufficient. Also, we find that the I Am is our guide. Moses may have known the route to Egypt because he had been there before, but he didn't know the path God was asking him to walk. He had no idea that God was going to send him on a journey that was going to bring him right back to where he was, meeting God in the wilderness. But he didn't realize that that journey was going to be an experience that would lead him through things like 10 plagues. He didn't realize that journey was going to be a journey that involved crossing the Red Sea. He didn't realize that journey was going to involve the strong refusal of Pharaoh to let the people go. For that reason, Moses needed a guide. He needed someone to help him through all the processes. He needed someone to lead the way. He was going to need someone to give him the next step to take and to show him the way for them to go day to day. Because there were going to be tough spots. Like the time he went to Pharaoh and said, "God says, let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Well, you all have too much time on your hands, so instead of me providing you straw to make bricks, you can go get your own straw." So what happened to the children of Israel when they heard that? They decided they didn't like Moses so well. They decided they weren't happy with that arrangement. So Moses needed someone to guide him through those tough situations. He needed someone to guide him when Pharaoh said, "Yes, you can go," but then changed his mind. He needed someone to guide him when Pharaoh said, "Yes, you can go," but then he turned around and sent his army after them. This is so much like our lives. We have a path we are to travel. Now, we can we can go down this path and look back and see where we've been, but that won't guide us for the future. Because the deal is, our path is a day-to-day path. We never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, we need a guide. We need someone to lead us on the way. We need someone to guide our steps so that we end up where we're supposed to be. We're in desperate need of a guide that knows where we're going. When God told Moses that He was the I Am, and that He would be with him, He was promising a guide for the moment-by-moment journey. He was promising a guide that knew what was going to happen each day. What Moses didn't realize is that that guide was going to be a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that that guide was going to be there to part the Red Sea. He just knew that the I Am said, "I will be your guide." And so he was able to make the journey to the promised land. Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord or Yahweh will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame." Someone once wrote, "As creatures, we must reckon in terms of the past and the future. But to the Creator of time, all is present." You see, He can be our guide because no matter where we are or where we're going, He's already there and always already has been there because it's always the present for Him. The I Am is all the guide we need to make the journey of life. He sees our entire path all at once. God told Moses that the proof that God was with him would be that he would come back with the people of Israel and worship on the mountain where he met God. Well, guess what? Our proof that God is guiding us is when we arrive in heaven and we fall down and worship at His feet. The I Am will guide in every way that we need so that we can complete our journey. But also, the I Am is the answer to our afflictions. Moses was being sent to an afflicted people. They were being abused. They were being treated as slaves. They were under the tyranny of a Pharaoh who used them. And he was to set them free. Well, guess what? The afflictions we face carry the imagery of slavery. We're enslaved to a fallen world. The consequences of man's sin are all around us. You can't watch the news without seeing the consequences of man's sin. The world we live in is seemingly out of control. We're self-focused as a people. We're not only influenced by sin, but we're impacted by sin. Every time something happens in your life that is evil, it is the result of someone else's sin or your own sin. We're in desperate need of a deliverer. We're in great need of a Savior. We're afflicted. We struggle with the issues of life, sickness, our bodies failing. We're afflicted by many, many things, And the Apostle Paul struggled with afflictions just like we do. And he had a thorn in his flesh. He had something he couldn't overcome. And he went to God about that thing three times because it tormented him. And when Paul asked God to remove it, the response God gave him was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." See, God, Paul was like us. He needed to be freed from his affliction. And what he found was the I Am who said, "I'm sufficient in the affliction." The commentator Guzak said, "Inherent in the idea behind the name of I Am is the sense that God is the becoming one. God becomes whatever is lacking in our time of need. The name I Am invites us to fill in the blank to meet our need." And then he goes on to say, "When we're in darkness, J Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When we're hungry, He says, I am the bread of life. When we're defenseless and we need protection, He says, I'm the good shepherd. When we need a Savior, He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He became our deliverer. The I Am became the Passover lamb, and He frees us up from our afflictions when we turn to Him. Knowing Yahweh, the I Am, means knowing the One who has the power to help us change. I know it sounds simplistic, but I Am is the answer to all of our problems. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, to say that means that He doesn't always remove those problems. Paul found that out. Sometimes He says, just let me help you get through the problem. Let me show you my strength. Let me show you that I am. Is life overwhelming you today? Are you facing struggles that are more than you can bear? Then Yahweh is the name to call on, because He's the I Am. He can guide you. He can give you the authority to overcome. He can give you the answers to the challenges this life has to offer. The key to I Am is the key that Moses experienced. If you go to Exodus 33:11, it tells us, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. The key is to learn the God, the I Am, who wants to be your friend. The key is to get to know Him face to face. That's when you have the power to conquer. Today, God is seeking those who want to know the great I Am. He's looking for those who want to know Him by name. John 17:3 says, eternal life comes through knowing Him. Today, we all face challenges. We all face issues. For some, the issue is knowing the I Am. Maybe you've never made that commitment of your life to Him. Today's the day. Now is the chance. He's inviting you to know Him by name. Maybe the issue is overcoming the trials in your life. Standing strong even though you don't feel able to. Overcoming something that is controlling your life. The I Am can help you. The I Am is the answer. We're going to stand in a minute. We're going to sing. It's going to be an opportunity for anybody that needs to respond to the I Am. Maybe you need to accept Him as Lord. Maybe you need to surrender to Him once again and let Him have control of your life. Maybe you need to commit to knowing Him by name, because that's what He desires. If that's one of your needs, would you respond to Him now as we stand and we sing?